Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is August 6, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Ethereum Classic suffers second 51% attack in a week. Crypto Instagram is becoming a thing, scams and all. OKCoin Exchange awards grant to one of Bitcoin Core's most active developers. TikTok and the Great Firewall of America. Now let's get started. Ethereum Classic suffers second 51% attack in a week. Ethereum Classic has suffered its second 51% attack in a week after more than 4,000 blocks were reorganized Thursday morning. Mining pool Etherman's parent entity Bitfly and crypto exchange Binance reported the reorganization, announcing all Ethereum Classic payouts, withdrawals and deposits had been suspended due to the attack. The reorganized transaction history is currently the longest chain on the network. However, the majority of Ethereum Classic miners such as mining pool Etherman are continuing to mine on the shorter version of the network. Developers behind Ethereum Classic said in a tweet minutes before Bitfly's report that exchanges and mining pools are advised to significantly raise confirmation times on all deposits and incoming transactions in light of recent network attacks. A chain reorg occurs when a party gains more hashing power than the rest of the network miners. The adversary can then rewrite the chain's history and double spend the blockchain's native currency, in this case, etc. Hashing power on Ethereum Classic looks to have decreased considerably since Monday, August 3, dropping nearly 20% from 1.6 THS to 1.3 THS as of press time. This fresh attack to Ethereum Classic's network follows on from a recent attack that occurred between July 29 and August 1, according to blockchain analytics firm BitQuery. While Ethereum Classic developers initially said the network did not suffer from a reorganization or a 51% attack in that previous attack, BitQuery said Wednesday that an attacker double-spent a little over $800,000 etc., about $5.6 million, and paid about 17.5 BTC, $204,000 to acquire the hash power for the attack. The monetary value of Thursday's 51% attack in terms of the double spends is not yet known. However, at $23.44 per block reward on Ethereum Classic, the attacker has most likely earned $93,760 from block rewards alone. The attack follows the deprecation of the Open Ethereum client on July 16. Nearly half of the network's nodes, including important mining and exchange connections, operated on Open Ethereum software, which became immediately outdated following the first chain reorg July 31. Ethereum Classic developers have urged node operators to switch to Basu or multi-geth implementations as soon as possible. Ethereum Classic's price was $7.03 as of press time, down less than 1% over 24 hours. Not the first. The network has suffered major reorg attacks at least twice in the last 2 years. In the more recent attack, the perpetrator moved more than $807,000 etc. from an unspecified crypto exchange to several wallets between July 29 to 31, according to BitQuery. The attacker then started mining blocks after purchasing the hash power from a user on cryptocurrency mining platform NiceHash. On July 31, the attacker sent money to their own wallet address via private transactions and then implemented the transactions into the blocks they were mining. The attacker then sent back money to a crypto exchange, which BitQuery alleges belongs to Malta-based OKEX. By August 1, the attacker published their blocks and initiated the chain reorg. As of press time, none of the funds compromised in the 51% attack have moved from the OKEX exchange, according to BitQuery. Crypto Crypto Instagram is becoming a thing, scams and all. The same type of crypto scams that plague Twitter are running rampant on Instagram in 2020. For example, there are more than 1.3 million Instagram posts using hashtag Coinbase, an overwhelming number of which display inauthentic behavior. Coinbase declined to comment on any past influencer campaigns, with the short statement, "We don't have an active influencer campaign right now." Instagram isn't tackled specifically in the company's blog post about social media scams. Efforts to curtail this trend sometimes harm entrepreneurs like influencer and educator Rachel Siegel, better known as Crypto Finally. She was temporarily deplatformed from Instagram in July. For several days she was among at least three real crypto influencers, all young women, who temporarily lost access to their accounts. "I think that the policies for banning over impersonation should be looked at. There are dozens of fake accounts impersonating me that are kept up on Instagram," Siegel said. "I am glad that they were able to reinstate my account, but I believe new preventative measures should be taken to protect their users from falling victim to scams and impersonators. Banning the original creator just makes the problem worse." Along with Siegel, the Argentinian influencer Catalina was also suspended. Instagram spokesperson Reiki Wayne told CoinDesk the accounts were taken down unintentionally. "When the mistake was discovered, we overturned. To be fair to Instagram, it's clear COVID-19 fraud trends are outpacing current moderation practices. I've been impersonated on almost every platform, including Instagram, along with many CoinDesk staffers. But scam accounts on Instagram try to contact or follow me weekly, more than other platforms, especially since the COVID-19 crisis began. There are many authentic influencer accounts doing giveaways on Instagram as part of their COVID-19 marketing strategies." Despite this climate, Instagram still does provide an important networking platform for the crypto industry. Especially in Latin America, some entrepreneurs rely on Instagram to communicate with customers about their products. Brazilian entrepreneur Edmilson Rodriguez, of both Bonum and Love Kryptonet, often serves Venezuelan refugees who rely on mobile apps for communication. He said he uses Instagram to both show pictures of my family and to publish updates about our product. He said he interacts with product users via Instagram at least once every few weeks, especially when his startup launches a new feature. Insta Brazil. Yet another crypto company operating in Brazil, the Abacus Group-supported exchange Novadax, shows how startups leverage Instagram for customer relations during COVID-19. Chinese investor turned Novadax CEO Bebe Lu said thousands of Brazilians used her exchange to buy Bitcoin for the first time over the past few months. Out of roughly 150,000 user total accounts, she said surveys indicated 20% were new to crypto. "We do a lot of basic educational content on Instagram," Lu said, adding they also do Instagram live sessions to answer user questions. "Instagram is a very important channel in Brazil. It's a large population that is pretty young. More than half of the exchange's Brazilian users are mobile only," Lu said, "so mobile-friendly customer support options are crucial. Even for the minority of professional traders using the platform, such as Portuguese-speaking liquidity providers in Europe or the United States, Instagram marketing helps the startup establish trust. They are more skeptical. They have concerns. So we post a lot of things related to our company background and team background," Lu said about how the startup uses Instagram for customer relations with experienced traders. "It shows we are a trustworthy company. We show that we continue to update our products." Indeed, the company is officially opening support for European traders in August, after months of limited onboarding, to help boost liquidity and create a complementary flow between institutions and the emerging retail market. This is why authenticity on social media platforms like Instagram, which is so difficult for moderators to safeguard, is a key factor influencing cryptocurrency adoption patterns. Speaking to the global dynamics of crypto Instagram, where some users struggle to identify authentic accounts, Siegel said she hopes Instagram will create a new model for a more active effort to protect their users. OKCoin Exchange awards grant to one of Bitcoin Core's most active developers. Announced Thursday, Exchange OKCoin is awarding its largest individual grant so far to Bitcoin Core maintainer Marco Falca, the second most prolific contributor to Bitcoin Core in the software's history. OKCoin is awarding Falca an independent developer grant, which is the equivalent of a developer salary for the year, though Falca requested that the exact amount not be disclosed for the sake of his financial privacy. With his grant, Falca will continue his work as maintainer of Bitcoin Core, the key software underpinning Bitcoin, which he's been heads down on since 2016. His work helps to ensure that changes to Bitcoin Core are merged, helps to organize developers that are spread out over the globe, and runs tests to ensure the code is working properly, among other tasks. When asked about his personal accomplishments, Falca emphasized that Bitcoin Core is a team effort, with developers from around the world making it what it is. I am proud to see what Bitcoin Core is today and how everyone's contributions shaped Bitcoin Core for the future, Falca told CoinDesk. Maintenance, work. Falca is one of a handful of Bitcoin Core maintainers. Maintainers are sometimes described as the leaders of sorts of Bitcoin's code. But, while maintainers are crucial to Bitcoin, the role isn't as authoritative as has been painted. Some of my days are surprisingly unexciting maintenance work, as Falca put it. Testing ensures code works as intended. He spends a lot of time keeping tests of the code in line, ensuring that any issues they expose will be fixed. On top of that, I am running my own nightly test runs, code coverage runs, benchmarks and fuzzers, Falca said. In addition, he reviews proposed code changes and merges them into Bitcoin Core when they have been sufficiently vetted. Helping to speed up this maintenance process is what he believes is his most useful contribution to Bitcoin Core. Dropbot. He created a little bot for GitHub, where Bitcoin Core's code is stored, and where developers propose code changes, and discuss them. The bot, called Dropbot, does all the automatable things that I used to do, Falca said. Many Bitcoin Core developers are working on the code at the same time. It's easy for little code clashes to arise. Once a change is approved and merged into the code base, it might impact other people's code. Dropbot notifies developers of these conflicts. The bot will also list all future conflicts, assuming a pull request was merged, to aid maintainers planning ahead, Falca added. Dropbot also builds the Bitcoin Core code into binaries that Bitcoiners can run on their devices, among other tasks. This bot frees up a lot more time for Falca to focus on other more difficult tasks, which can't be automated and taken over by a robot. Fleeing COVID-19. One reason Falca is happy to be receiving this grant is that he is leaving Chaincode, a startup in New York City that funds developers and researchers dedicated to improving Bitcoin. He decided to move back to his farm in Germany. Given that I grew up on a remote farm, away from big cities, NYC was definitely a new, lasting and exciting experience. Nonetheless, I couldn't see myself settle down in NYC long-term, Falca said. Then, coronavirus hit, making New York City an even less attractive place to live for Falca. Even before COVID, I saw many of my friends and colleagues leave NYC. Then with the COVID situation happening, and seeing politics and immigration policy becoming increasingly hostile towards immigrants and visa holders, it convinced me to move back to Germany, he said. Chaincode only employs people who live in New York City. When Falca decided to depart, Chaincode's head of special projects Adam Jonas helped him find new funding at OKCoin. I'd like to thank Adam Jonas from Chaincode for reaching out to various companies in the space and showing them the importance of supporting Bitcoin developers, Falca said. OKCoin, funding Bitcoin development. With a global health crisis that's far from over and a feeble world economy, 2020 has been a disaster of a year. The sliver of a silver lining, though, is that 2020 has been the best ever in terms of funding developers tinkering to make Bitcoin better after a long dearth of funding. These sorts of grants have been growing in popularity. Many open-source Bitcoin developers work on the code as a side project, essentially improving the digital currency for free, despite their contributions helping everyone in the industry, including the companies profiting from it. But now, more exchanges and other Bitcoin organizations are beginning to support this work financially. We are inherently incentivized to invest in Bitcoin, which is fundamental to the growth of our industry, said OKCoin CEO Hong Fang in a statement. Supporting Marco's work on strengthening the testing framework in addition to his general responsibilities as a maintainer is important to continuing quality development. OKCoin has awarded a number of grants this summer, including to Bitcoin Core contributor Amity Uderwar and to open-source payment processor BTC Pay. TikTok and the Great Firewall of America. Emily Parker is CoinDesk's global macro editor. Wednesday, the Trump administration announced the Clean Network Program, which is supposed to protect Americans' private information from malign actors, namely China. The basic idea is that barring Chinese apps and companies will make America safe again. Building a clean fortress around our citizens' data will ensure all of our nation's security, the State Department statement said. This is similar to the language lawmakers are using against TikTok. A U.S. company should buy TikTok so everyone can keep using it and your data is safe, U.S. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, DNY, recently tweeted. This is about privacy, he said. The argument is that the Chinese-owned app TikTok, which has access to the personal data of millions of Americans, could pose a threat to national security. Taken at face value, that position is not unreasonable. The problem is the assumption U.S. companies can be trusted to keep personal data private and safe. This is not necessarily true. No, this isn't whataboutism, or America does bad things, too. It's simply to say we don't even know for sure TikTok is mishandling personal data or surveilling ordinary citizens. We do know American companies are. So why aren't more people talking about this national security threat? Last week, President Donald Trump threatened to ban TikTok in the U.S., raising the bizarre specter of a world in which teenagers jump over the Great Firewall of America to use a Chinese app. Trump walked this back a bit, saying the U.S. would shut down TikTok on September 15 unless Microsoft or another very American company bought it. He also said that the U.S. government should get a cut of the sale. Just for argument's sake, let's give the White House the benefit of the doubt and assume this isn't election year China bashing or old-fashioned protectionism. The idea of a foreign-owned company holding a honeypot of personal data on millions of Americans' data subject to a third-party hack or pressure from a government is not a great scenario. The problem is the assumption that U.S. companies can be trusted to keep personal data private and safe. But American companies are also vulnerable to these threats. Last year, the New York Times published a deep dive into how mostly unregulated companies use mobile phones to trace the movements of tens of millions of people and also store that information. Within America's own representative democracy, citizens would surely rise up in outrage if the government attempted to mandate that every person above the age of 12 carry a tracking device that revealed their location 24 hours a day, the article noted. Yet, in the decade since Apple's App Store was created, Americans have, app by app, consented to just such a system run by private companies. The Times was also able to use that same data set to track, within minutes, the location of President Trump. If that's not a national security issue, then what is? If journalists can use this kind of data to find a U.S. president, foreign spies could probably do the same. Here we are freaking out about TikTok, when people's cell phone carriers are doing things that are frankly compromising our security in much graver ways, said Rebecca McKinnon, founding director of Ranking Digital Rights, a research program at New America. Nor is excessive data collection limited to cell phone companies. Google's data hoarding is well known. It was not long ago that Facebook allowed the data firm Cambridge Analytica access to the private data of 50 million users. In a widely viewed TED Talk from 2017, the academic Zeynep Tufekci reminded the world of just how Facebook tracks every status update, messenger conversation and log-in location, not to mention all the information it purchases from data brokers. Her talk concluded with the plea, We need a digital economy where our data and our attention is not for sale to the highest bidding authoritarian or demagogue. In the case of TikTok, the fear is Beijing could demand data on American users, and TikTok owner ByteDance would have no choice but to hand it over. Especially at a moment of heightened U.S.-China tensions, many Americans would be uncomfortable with this, and understandably so. But some of those same Americans probably wouldn't want their own government keeping tabs on them either. Yet, the data stored by U.S. companies has facilitated precisely that situation. As the cryptologist Bruce Schneier wrote in his book, Data and Goliath, governments, of course, are only part of the problem. Non-state hackers can also wreak considerable havoc, as evidenced by the 17-year-old in Florida who allegedly broke into some of the most prominent Twitter accounts in the world. Stories of massive data breaches are becoming all too familiar. Researchers found 2019 to be the worst year on record, with almost 8 billion records exposed. Data honeypots are dangerous, regardless of their nationality. Campaigners have proposed solutions, including breaking up the tech giants. Ranking Digital Rights recommends a federal privacy law that includes strong data minimization and purpose limitation provisions. Collection, retention, and data sharing could only happen with very explicit consent and opt-in by the user, McKinnon said. But that is not the case. We have very lax legal protections for users about what is happening to our data. Congress' failure to pass a strong federal privacy law is a national security failure, McKinnon added. Another solution would be the popularization of decentralized social media platforms in which users control their own information. The idea is to store personal data on a distributed ledger rather than in a centralized entity like Facebook. This would, in theory, help address the honeypot problem. While this idea is often talked about in the blockchain and crypto community, we're still some ways off from seeing a platform like this unseat the incumbent tech giants. Now that data security is back in the headlines, it's a good time to refocus on this issue. We can start with U.S. lawmakers acknowledging this problem is much bigger than TikTok and won't be solved by simply putting more data in the hands of U.S. companies. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.